We say amen. We say amen again.
Amen. You got it? All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I have enjoyed the whole service thus far. Amen. The Lord is good all the time. Yes, he is. And I thought we had a word of special recognition that we were going to talk about, but I guess we still do. This is it. Okay. All right. We want just we like to give honor to those who have accomplished things in, among our congregation. Amen. And we have a very, very faithful member who is here all the time. Always a joy to be in her presence. And this is, she has received from the Greater North County Chamber of Commerce a Chamber Companion of the Day. And this is in the person of our dear sister, Alicia Martin. Amen. Stand up for a minute there, Alicia. Everybody can see who you are. Amen. Amen. So we want to honor her today. Amen. This is in recognition of the amazing work you've done at Valley Industries for the month of September. Amen. Amen. And in addition to that, she has also received this wonderful plaque. Amen. And we give her the honor that she is due. Amen. She's diligent. She's faithful. Always worship the Lord. The Lord is in the forefront of her mind. Amen. And she has been raised by good parents. Amen. And so we want to thank God for that. Amen. Okay. Okay, we won't have her just step to the front here. She doesn't mind. She don't want to. Okay. All right, well, we usually let Alicia have her way. Amen. But we still give God glory and praise for what she has accomplished. Amen. We are definitely proud of Alicia. Amen. Thank God for everything she has done. Amen. Amen. She's one of the most faithful members of St. Timothy. Amen. So we thank God for her. Amen. And as you heard Deacon Martin sing there, the fruit don't fall far from the tree. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so he's doing a good job there as well, fathering. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing to say these days. So not to prolong the time, we're going to go right ahead, and we do have a steak from the Lord here today. Amen. There may be a little milk in there somewhere, but we do have a steak on our plate here. Amen. I like that what the Lord said. He said through David that he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. And he said, not no small table. My cup runneth over. Yes, he did. He said, and the enemy going to have to sit and watch you eat that steak and dine on all those fine good things that God has set before you. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look today just in an Old Testament passage. This is from the writer Moses. And I'm going to ask you to just stand and read this with me. If you have a copy of our lesson, I think they've been spread around there. If you didn't get one, there may be one available. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 9 and just the first 5 verses. And then we're going to jet over to the New Testament and take a look in the book of Hebrews. Now, we started a lesson in the book of Hebrews on our Tuesday Bible study. And so we're going to look at the first 5 verses there as well. You do not want to miss the series in Hebrews. It is just going to be awesome. I know it already. Amen. But let's take a look here at Deuteronomy chapter 9, and I'd like to ask you to read this with me. Deuteronomy 9:1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, Who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the New Testament scripture reading, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1, the prologue. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This is the book of Hebrews, first five verses. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we want to use for a subject, we win, the battle is the Lord's. Let's pray. Eternal God, we praise you this morning, Father. We bless you. We thank you for all that you do for us, oh God. And above all, we thank you just for who you are. You are magnificent. You are mighty. You are all powerful. Father, and we just see your hand and all the things that you have made. We see the work of your fingers, oh God. And when we behold the heavens, we see such a vast thing there, oh God. And we know that it's small compared to your greatness. But we exalt you, Father. But even though that heavens are so vast and so deep, you call every star by name, oh God, because you made them and cast them out into the heavens that men would fear you. And so, Father, we come today asking that you just bless our minds with an understanding of who you are so that we can understand this thing that we're going through, this paradigm of life as we go through it day by day, sometimes feeling battered, sometimes feeling pressed down, sometimes feeling oppressed, sometimes feeling all kinds of different ways, Lord. But we want to get a fresh grasp on the reason why you have us here and what you're doing, oh God, as you sit over yonder, looking over here, oh God, on what we're doing down here. And Father, we thank you for the intimacy that you showed when you sent your son into the world. So help us to understand that, Lord, that where you stand in the battle and how we can stand behind you, oh God, knowing that you have done everything and that you will not fail. Bless in the sanctuary today, Lord. Lift hearts and minds and elevate attitudes and opinions, oh God, as we study your holy word and we give you the honor and the praise. And we ask this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, the victorious one. And it's in his name that we pray and the church said together, amen. Now, the good news, if you read the end of the book, you know that we win. That's what we start with. And the battle is the Lord's. That's good news. I don't know what you're thinking about. But, you know, as you go along life, sometimes you might not feel like you're on the winning team. Sometimes you feel kicked around. Sometimes you feel battered. Sometimes you feel doubtful. Sometimes you feel apprehensive. A lot of negative things come to your mind when you see how the world is going. But the good news is that God's promises are certain. They're more certain than the rising of the sun. And how many times have you seen the sun fail to do what it does? I've never seen it. I'm going to tell you now, And there's some folk here, my senior, who could tell you, they have never seen that. You know, that's why the Bible said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord God is faithful. See, he is faithful. You can count on him. The things he set in motion are 100%. And we say that's 100, I hear the young folks say today. Yeah, that's 100, because God hooked it up. And so that's who we have to focus our attention on. Now, Israel, basically, we know, as the record shows us, God started them off from a person that was it was a hopeless battle from the word go. 75, Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham, idolatrous nation, idolatrous family, going on about the idolatrous business. And God said, Abram, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and out of your father's house. Come to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And right now, you know what, when you think about where he came from and where God took him, God kept his word. Who knew about Abram? Who would have known of Abram over there in Ur of the Chaldees had God not have said, Abram, get thee out. Come over here. Let me show you something. You know what? If you in the church today and you believe it's because one day you was minding your business, doing whatever you do, you didn't care nothing about what you did. You didn't know anything you did might have been offensive to God. You didn't care. And you better not tell me about it. That's the way you felt if you was anything like me. Now, some of y'all got raised in a family, so I can't speak for everybody. Some of y'all had a very strict mother and father, and you will be going to church, don't care what you do up in here. And that was good. If you went through that, that was a good thing. But some of us, that's not true. Some of us, we came up and we grew like a weed growing up out in the field, and we did whatever we thought was right. Any way the wind blow, folk was writing song. It's fine with me, you know. And so, well, but wherever you came from, the truth is God called you. He called you. You might not have known. He might have used your grandmother or your mother or your, somebody in your family, but he called you. And you know what? You don't get saved till you answer. You know, even though in God's mind you're saved from the foundation of the world, when you begin to respond to the word of God, it's when you respond and you understand, I need the Lord. And so God called you. He sets that up. The scripture says, whom the Lord foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So God has fixed this up in eternity. But then he predestined these, he also called. It says in Romans 8. Then he called, he also justified. That means he gave you the knowledge that my sin bill is covered. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now God skips everything between justified and glorified. And you know what that is? That's right here where we are in life. You are going from being called to glorified. And you know who started the process? We learned this from Paul in Philippians. He said that he which had began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, shall continue to perform it even to the day of Jesus Christ. So he's looking at your life a different way than you may be looking at your life. The one who started that good work, that's God. He is continuing to perform that good work. He's in you right now. He didn't just leave it up to you to follow me, because you know what kind of folk we are. You know, sometimes we don't follow what we should do. Sometimes it's like what Isaiah said, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned aside to his own way. But he said, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him, speaking about Messiah. See, so sometimes we go astray. But the Lord keeps you on the right track. He leaves the 99 and comes out against that one that strays off. You see, and so you are in a process and in a pattern that we call life. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. God gave you many examples of why life doesn't seem fair. Folk like David, you know, it didn't seem fair. He had to go run. God had anointed him as king when he was not even thought about by his own family or his father. Said, hey, you don't want him, that stinky little sheep boy. My son, he all right, but he out there with the sheep. He stink. Don't bring him in here. You see, Samuel said, get him because he's the next king of Israel, and brought him in. So God's call overrides your situation, whatever it is you're dealing with. When God calls, it doesn't make no difference where you are. Don't make no difference what you're doing, because God is going to quicken you and make you alive. And it'll be a shock to most people. It was a shock when folk found me walking around with a Bible. They said, boy, he lost his mind. I said, no, I'm finding my mind. I'm finding it right now. See, I lost it already. You didn't say nothing when I was out there bad. See, you had nothing to say about that. That was all right because you was bad too. See, but now that I'm looking in here every day, that week, carry that Bible everywhere he goes. Say, why is that? Because I'm finding my mind. I'm in here looking for what turns I made wrong. I'm going to get this thing together here. See, because God was now at the wheel steering. And so when God calls you, he's going to finish the work. You can count on it. Moses had to remind the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy. They've been out there. They've been, you know, sometimes this happens. You get into the blessings of God and you forget how you got there. You start to think, well, you know, I've been working hard. Start to stick your chest out and look at me. Look what I'm doing. I came from over here living on this street. Now I'm living over here in higher heights. And sometimes we want to stick out our chest a little bit. But you know what? It's God that took you from where you were. He took you out the sheep coat and brought you to the palace. It's God that got you from off of where you were and brought you to where you are. And he should get the credit. So now Deuteronomy, as you know, used to be the end of the Bible. Some of us don't think of it that way. There was a time when the whole Bible consisted of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was the end of the book. And so now God's been blessing from the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all through to bring his people out of captivity, to bring them out of the fallen state they were in down in Egypt, to bring them up to be the most blessed people on the planet, to raise up and exalt kings out of their seed, out of the seed of Abraham. And now they're thinking, oh, you know, he gave us all these nations and all that, but we got some more territory we need to conquer because God promised Abraham that we would get the land all the way to the river Euphrates. And what the Jews have never had all that land. Did you know that? They don't have it today. But God said from the Great Sea, which was the Mediterranean Sea, or the river of Egypt, he said, really, which is the Nile, all the way to the Euphrates, is going to belong to his people. So it still hasn't happened yet. It ain't over, though. Let me tell you now. It ain't over yet. Israel's still in the news. So Moses came to a place where he said, you know what, I better remind these people what happened and what where we are in this process of life. And so that's where we are this morning. I want to remind you where we are in the process of life. God has brought you to the place you are. God is going to finish taking you where he wants you to be. You are going to succeed. You are going to be successful. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any trials or difficulties or setbacks. But it does mean that you need to pay careful attention to what the Lord says. Notice what Moses said as he re-alerts the children of Israel that we haven't gotten where we're supposed to be yet, but we're still on the journey. First thing he says, hear, O Israel, keep on listening to what thus saith the Lord. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day. We're moving closer toward that goal that God has set up for us. But this day we have made as far as the Jordan to go in and possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. They got their stuff stacked all the way up to heaven, but that don't mean a thing, is what Moses said. Hear this, O Israel, O people of God, that you're going to get a little step further in your progress starting today, this day. You're going to pass over, he says here. And you're going to take over stuff that other nations, that word nations is goyim in the Hebrew. It means Gentiles, basically. Simply put, it would be equivalent to the Greek word ethnos, which where we get the English word ethnicities, or different people of different kind of nationalities. You see, but now Israel is the chosen people of God. They're the ones God has loved, he has blessed, he has called, and it includes people who are saved by faith. Paul told us, it's not just the folks born of Abraham, it's the ones who believe like Abraham, who hear what God says, and I believe it. I'm going to move on what God said. See, folk like Rahab was included in that number. See, why? She was not an Israelite, but she believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knew he was the real God. So she got saved, even though she was a woman of ill repute. All through the Bible, she called Rahab the harlot. Like, wow, well, I sure would hate not to have a handle like that stuck on me. But the fact is, God does it so you can see the magnitude of his grace. He wants you to understand, I don't care what you were, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to be. And I'm taking you from point A to point B. And it don't make no difference. How do you get there? By faith. Continue to believe me. Believe my promises. Believe what I told you. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't look at what you see. Don't let the devil come up with a smoke screen and all of his hogwash to slow you down. Just keep believing what I said. Now, you'll see that here as we look at the text. Hear, O Israel, don't quit listening to God. You're going to pass over the Jordan today. You're going to go in and possess nations greater and mightier. Just because they're greater and mightier than yourself, don't worry about it. These cities are fenced and protected. They got walls all the way up to heaven. How are you going to get through that? He wasn't trying to instill doubt. He says, you are going to do this. A people great and tall are going to be in there, inside those gates. The children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest. You know about these Anakims. It's, well, no, we say word on the street. These are bad folks here, you see. And he says, and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? They have a notoriety going around. We would say they are notorious. They have a bad reputation. Who can beat them down? Who can overpower them? Who can defeat the obstacles that they have and set up? We've heard about how they take folks out. They got a bad reputation. So Moses is saying that makes no difference. Notice verse number 3. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. And he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so that thou shalt drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Realize who's going before you. You know what? When you got problems, can we talk? I got some problems. They seem like big problems. They seem like they're going to devastate and overtake. There's some stuff set against me. Some of it may be for reasons that you deserve. Some of it might be for reasons you don't understand. Some of it may be for reasons you don't even see why. Why are these things against me? Why is all these obstacles set before me? Why does it seem like it's going to be trouble up the road? And why am I in fear of it now? See, but you know what? We're looking at the problem. Moses said, hear, O Israel, don't look at your problem. Because God already promised you the victory. He said, I'm going to go before you. That's what's going to happen. This is how it's going to work. Whatever the enemy is, I'm going before you. Before you get there, I'm already have it set up. It's already set up because you're going to, and you know what? I'm not going to take them out. You are. But I'm going to set the stage so when you set your foot on the holy ground that I set up for you, you're going to move right in and the stuff, your obstacles are going to move out your way. So that's the thing Moses wants them to remember. But you know what? It's one thing to talk about something in theory. It's another thing to put it into action and execute. You know, you can have all the theory you want. Until you start to execute that thing that you're doing, you're not going to accomplish the goal that's set before you. See? So it's one thing here, but the difference in this case is God is the one who made the plan. God made the plan. Paul put it this way. He told the Romans, if God be for us, who could be against us? Who do you know that's bigger and badder and mightier than God? If God told you it's going to come to pass, guess what? It's going to come to pass. You can count on this because of his promise. Now notice on as he moves on in his encouragement here. He says, understand therefore this day. In verse 3, I'm going back over again. That the Lord thy God is he which goeth before you as a consuming fire. And he shall destroy them and shall bring them down before thy face so that thou, see that it switches from God to you, shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has said unto you. So you want to believe what God said. You want to hear what God said. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You want to hear. That's why Moses started off, hear, O Israel. Listen, remember what God told you. It may not look like it's working out this way. You may feel like I'm going to go over there and they're going to pull out a big flash water and just knock me down. Because that's the way it looks. But if God said it, guess what? You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. So he says, notice Moses said, don't let doubt enter your heart. Verse 4, speak not in thy heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast him out before thee, saying, for my righteousness. Don't go take credit when you start to prosper. Don't try to take the credit and say, well, you know, I got this hooked up. I got it going on now. For my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. No, it's not so. It's for his righteousness. But for the wickedness of these nations, the people who don't believe me, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness. Don't get it mixed up. We will say today, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. It's not because you were so good. Not because you were so pretty. None of that. You may be pretty and you may be good, but it's not because of that. He says, not for my righteousness or my uprightness of heart that thou dost go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations. Now, you know what I thought about that? I got right there and I said, now, why? How is it that these people are wicked and we're not? You know what the difference is? Who believes God? Who believes God? Do you believe God? That's what makes you righteous. Faith in God. Nothing else. It has nothing to do with behavior. See? But that is not an excuse to behave in a bad manner. See? I believe God. I trust him. I believe he's, and you know why? The reason is God made a sacrifice to cover me. That's the reason I'm righteous. Because he gave his son to cover me. And I believe he gave his son to cover me. I don't think there's anything anyone else can do to cover me except what God did. Jesus is the one who covers me by himself. He don't need no help. I can't help him cover me because I don't know. I can't satisfy the Father. He can. And you know what? He has. And I believe that. So I'm going to stand right there. I'll park right there. I'm taking it out of drive and I'm putting it in park on Jesus, first of all. You see, kind of like how many of you been to these car wash? When you get there, it says, just put the car in neutral. And then you come out on the other side clean. That's the way it is. You ain't doing this. Take your foot off the brake. Let me take control, and you're going to go through. When you come out on the other side, it's clean. Been washed. It's been fixed up. See, you didn't do it. You just went through the car wash, and you got clean. You see, that's what it is. I believe God. It's not that I'm so righteous. I'm the one put the dirt on the car. I'm the one messed it up. But he's taking me through. He's going to cleanse me and sanctify me. See that? And he says, now this is the reason in part B of verse number 5. He says, it's the wickedness of these other nations. They don't believe God, in other words, that God doth drive them out from before thee, and that, notice this verse, the last part of this verse 5, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's got promises that are radiating all the way down through your generations from what he told your forefathers, and it's still coming through the generations all the way to you. The Bible is very interesting because it's written from an eternal perspective. Did you know that? That's why it says stuff like, the blood of Abel yet speaketh. What, Abel? How long he been gone? But the blood of Abel yet speaketh. Because he was put to death because he was declared righteous because he believed God. His brother did not. So his brother killed him, but his blood yet speaketh. So that's radiating through the generations all the way up till right now. The blood of Abel is still having an effect. Because he was the first one regarded in God's word that was persecuted for righteousness. Interesting, isn't it? So everybody before you has an effect on you right now. And so this is what I want you to see here, because we put this kind of in a nutshell. It has been the work of God based solely on his promises, which is the reason for the ongoing success of the people whom God has selected for his own. From the beginning, even up to this very moment, and shall continue until everything that God has spoken or written shall be completed. In other words, like Jesus told the Pharisees and those around him and his disciples, not one jot or tittle shall in any wise fail in this law until it's all fulfilled. You know what a jot and a tittle is? Y'all say, what in the world is that? Sound like some candy you buy down there, Skittles or something. But the fact is, it's the punctuation marks in the Hebrew. In other words, not only the words, but it's punctuated correctly. And every little thing I see it down to, that we would say that we're going to dot our I's and cross our T's in English. Same kind of thing. Every little bit of what I said is significant and is true for you if you believe me. None of it is going to fail. Not just the words, but the punctuation. In other words, sometimes God put a comma somewhere. That means pause. There's some stuff in your life you need to pause. I'm going to wait. And then he tell you stuff like, those who wait upon the Lord, what? Shall renew their strength. That's why you need to pause. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So sometimes the comma is important. We need to take a pause. Somebody said, take a chill pill, the recent folks. Don't get anxious. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, stop and pray about it. It looks rough along the way. But now look at this. I want you to see this. We have to get this whole thing here, and it's going to flow quickly now. Hebrews 1 and 1. The writer here is talking about the same thing that Moses was talking about. And he's putting the whole Old Testament into a nutshell. Here, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers, in other words, he spoke to folk like Adam and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those are the fathers. And it says here, by the prophets, that's people from Samuel on, clear on up to the New Testament writers. But in this time, let's say from Samuel to Malachi, and even Moses, the law, up to Malachi, the last prophet. It says, "Has he spoke to us by the fathers and by the prophets, and he spoke to the fathers and by the prophets, says here, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son." Now, this was different because he wasn't just giving inspiration to some writers, but he came in the flesh. That's what John said. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten from the Father. He was born in the flesh. He had a body just like me and you. Jesus had a belly button where he was attached to the placenta of Mary, if you will. Unlike Adam. Adam didn't really need one. We're not going to go there. The scripture doesn't clarify that. But there was no reason for Adam to have one. He was not born. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Now notice this, has in the last of these days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Does it look like Jesus is the heir of all things on earth right now? Doesn't look like it, does it? A whole lot of folks got authority. A whole lot of folks got power. A whole lot of folks look like they're running what's happening here. They don't look like they're doing a good job of it, do they? They're trying to stop even God's people from getting what their portion is. That's why the songwriter said, and Jesus is my portion. See what I'm saying? He is my portion. Why? Because he is going to accomplish everything that God has promised. See, a constant friend, the songwriter went on to say, is he. His eye is on the sparrow, so I know he watches over me. He's looking at everything. He can see what the folks are doing. He know they got it twisted, as we would say. You know, but that don't mean nothing to you. If you trust him, if you're his child, it means nothing to you. Because I'm going to trust him. He is my portion and my constant friend. Now, so God spoke through him. He didn't leave it up to other prophets and all that. In the last of these days, he spoke to us by his son. This is not just any old son, but this is him by whom also he made the worlds. The creator, the son, who being the brightness of his glory, that's a definition of Jesus. He's the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself, oh, I love that. Wow. By himself. He didn't need your help. He don't need Trump. He does not need the Dalai Lama. I don't need you. By myself, I purged the sin of the world. Wow, who can say that? Only one person. The only begotten Son of God. When he by himself purged our sin and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's what Jesus did. He by himself dealt with the problem of sin. Nobody helped. Don't let somebody tell you, well, you know, you didn't get baptized right. Nah, you didn't speak in no tongue. No, by himself. What part of that don't you get? When he is by himself, I'm going to preach right there for about 10 minutes. No, I'm not. I'm going to take that back. But by himself, don't let nobody trick you with no hogwash. The Bible says, when he by himself purged our sins. So how did our sins get purged? To purge is to cleanse and remove. He sat down. That means I'm done. How many priests ever sat down in the Holy of Holies? None. They went in with a rope around the ankle, fearfully, and a bell ringing. And the only seat in there was the mercy seat. You wouldn't dare put your hips up there. You wouldn't dare put your hips up there. One place to sit, the mercy seat. And you better come in there and you better be done everything right. And you better not come without blood. That's the way that was. But Jesus purged our sins by himself and sat down. His work was done. The reason the priest couldn't sit down, there was nowhere for you to sit, first of all. And your work is not done. This is just a temporal covering that God has given you until this one right here, this ultimate high priest, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who was prophet, priest, and king, came in and took care of the sin problem. And he sat down. Why? Because it was done. On the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels. Angels are other types of messengers that God sends. You know, the word angelos in the Greek is messenger. God sends angels or messengers. Preachers are called messengers to the angels of the seven churches, the ones who are delivering the messages to people, the angelos. You see here, it says, by being made so much better than angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Don't overlook that inheritance. You know what inheritance do? They come from one generation to the next. That's how you get an inheritance, from one generation to the next. It's the blessing of a previous generation being passed down. So it was necessary for the Son to become flesh in order that he might become the heir of all things. And he has obtained a more excellent name than any other messenger that has ever come. So don't come tell me there was another messenger after him that was more great. Not according to this. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. We looked at that in Psalm 2. Remember that last lesson? Psalm number 2. The son. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 2. He says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, that thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Only one time. But these verses express what I like to call the divinity of the Son of God. That he is God the Son. He's not just a son. He is God the Son who came in and purged our sin by himself. So that's who you are talking about. That's who you're dealing with. So any battle you're dealing with, there is a battle in progress involving every area of life. And we're going to extrapolate on this in the days to come. And there is an evil scheme in progress also against the spoken and the written word of truth that God has given. Did you know that? The devil is poised against everything God said. That's why the nations rage, the heathen rage, and they imagine a vain thing, the kings of the earth. That's what it said there in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And so this stuff is all going against or contrary to the word of God, the written and spoken truth of God. And it's going to consume every unbeliever who does not believe and trust the things that God has said in Holy Writ. So you might think you're stacking up something, but what you're stacking up is wrath against yourself if you don't come by the name of Jesus Christ. Judgment from the Most High God. When his wrath is kindled but a little, doesn't take much. Only takes a speck of God's wrath to destroy everything in the creation is ungodly. So no matter what happens against the ones who trust in Jesus Christ, the battle rages on and gets more and more fierce day by day. But all who stay the course of faith in Jesus Christ shall defeat every plot of the enemy when all is said and done, because the end of the book says we win and the battle is the Lord. I almost make me want to sing that, be still, gotta fight your battle, be still, gotta fight your battle, be still. Gotta fight your battles, gotta fight your battles, if you just be still, hold on. Gotta fight your battles, hold on. Gotta fight your battles, hold on. Gotta fight your battles, gotta fight your battles, if you just hold on, be still. Gotta fight. Gotta fight your battles. Gotta fight your battles. If you just be still. Amen. So if you're here today, go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. We win. That's the end of the book. And you know what? You should see all this stuff you're going through. I want to give you this before you go. Don't be bummed out about it. Now, you know what? The only way you can do this is be in the spirit. Try this. When you get the most depressing news or thing you can find, say, God is fighting my battle. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of my God. When the enemy is encroaching from behind, I'm going to stand still. See, like James said, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. This is real stuff here I'm dealing with, but I don't have to worry about it. Because God is going to fight you. Let that adjust your attitude when you get some bad news or you get that letter in the mail or whatever kind of thing it is that disturbs you. Or when you see somebody way out of fellowship with the truth. Somebody you love and you know they're on the wrong track. God's going to fight my battle. I got the Most High on my side. And I'm on His side. And I'm going to be still. And know that you are God. Doctor give you a bad report. God is going to fight my battle. Don't make no difference. Makes no difference. You know what? He's going to come to me and get me, or I'm going to go to him one way or the other. And you know, every generation of the church has looked for what Paul calls the blessed hope. That's the fact that I could be alive and be right in the midst of all this I'm dealing with. And the rapture happens. And I believe in it. It'll be snatched up, taken up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. See, we know God fights your battle. Look at my sister coming in the door. Thank you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll make a way out of no way. Amen. It might look like there's trouble. Moses, look what you done. You done brought us up here to the Red Sea. And now the enemy coming in, he ain't got nowhere to go. What you gonna do? He said, be still. Stretch forth your rod, Moses. And God was behind him, a wall of fire. You can't come no closer than I met you. You wanna run through this fire, go ahead. You'll find out what's gonna happen. And then they had sit and watched a miracle of the Red Sea peel back. And a dry freeway right down the middle. That's really miraculous. And all you can do is stand there and see the spectacle and watch God's people cross on dry land. Cross the Red Sea on dry land. Be still and know that I am God. Not your battle. The battle is the Lord's. Whatever you're dealing with. So I got you. I got your back. I got you covered. So walk by faith. Let your faith influence your behavior in the midst of the battle. So many times we give in and we, the enemy done hunt me down. And we got our little side story. Get off of that one. Get off of it. God will fight my battle. Because he said he would. So if I just be still and know that he is God, let us stand. If you're here today and you're not saved, we want to offer you that opportunity to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And if you are saved, we want to give you an opportunity to unite with the church. Amen. As we have said, the church is God's organization. And think about this, it would seem like, looking at what's going on in the world, it seems kind of small compared to the U.S. National Army or the, try naming different kind of stuff, the federal government. But the church is God's. This is his personal possession. It's the only place where you can hear the gospel and hear the truth is the local church. God has given us authority to tell people the truth. Whoever you tell, he said, if they believe you, I will save them. So that's the privilege that we have. It's a privilege, and I feel great. I'm a part of the most effective and blessed organization on the planet. You are too. If you're saved, you believe Jesus, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. And your destination is already set. You have your itinerary, if you will. You know, and God's going to take you through every situation you got to deal with. And you're not going to fail. No way. We win. The battle is the Lord's. You cannot lose. It'll make no difference. I love that. Oh, the enemy looks fierce and horrible. Yeah, they are. I hope they repent so they can get some of this here. I hope they repent so they can get some of this here so they can be saved. Amen. So if you'd like to unite with the church today, St. Timothy is one cell in the body of Christ. There are many all around the planet, but we're here. We want this one to be an effective one. And we thank God for the opportunity and the privilege. Amen. And we're seeing this organism work right here. Amen. So we see we've done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. And we hope you got a blessing. So we're not going to prolong the time. I'm going to go ahead and call for the benediction at this time. Amen. Amen. Let as the kids like to say, marinate on that. Amen. Just marinate on it. All right.
One more time, put your hands together.